Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Max, and welcome to the Her Story, Her Journey podcast, where we highlight the extra that's in every woman. I am so glad that you guys joined us today as we spotlight Mia Allman. Mia is a certified life, health, and nutrition coach. She's also the founder of Official Women of Culture, and that's Culture with a K, or W-O-K. And she is also the founder of the Brother Counterpart, which is Men of Culture. Mia is also the founder of Ribbons of Survivors 365. She is also the founder and editor-in-chief of Caribbean Under One Magazine, or KUO Magazine. Today, Mia's story is going to focus on her constant battle with depression and anxiety. Depression and anxiety that started when she was diagnosed with breast cancer in May of 2000. But of course, you know, we are always highlighting our extraordinary women. So Mia is also going to show you or talk to you about since then how she has worked to create a safe space where exploring mental health and wellness is the norm. Guys, I can't wait for you to hear her story as she takes you through the process of transforming from survivor to thriver. Mia, please tell our audience about yourself.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Max. I'm honored to be here today. I'm a certified life coach, a health and nutrition coach. I'm an advocate for all type of chronic illness. Community leader, and I just, you know, also editor-in-chief and founder of Caribbean Under One Magazine, you mentioned early, and, you know, one of my passions is my Ribbons of Survivors that just brings so much raises so much awareness for different chronic illness and conditions. So I just love giving back in the community.
Awesome. Awesome. Guys, let me tell you, this humble woman, she is underplaying all the stuff she does. She has a heart of gold. If you sit and you talk to her for 5 minutes, she's trying to find out a way to help you. So, you know, these are the women that I love to bring where, you know, life tries to press you down and you reach deep inside and you say, well, no, not just for that. But when I reach the mountaintop, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to reach for some other people too. So Mia, please talk to us a little bit about when life came at you and you had to reach for that extra inside of you.
Wow. That came in 2000, May 24th, when I heard the most devastating news, you have cancer. And that right there just, you know, broke me down completely to the core. And it was very painful, you know, because your life flashing in front of you thinking, oh, God, I'm going to die. How much time do I have? You know, am I going to survive? How do I, you know, take care of my children? All these emotions just, you know, kind of went through. So that was that point of coming into another rough road of obstacles and challenges that I'll be faced.
So, I mean, you go to the doctor mm-hmm. and you hear those words, you have cancer. And again, like you said, your life kind of flashed before your eyes. And I'm assuming, and just tell me if I'm wrong, 1,000 things flashed through your mind, including how am I going to put one foot in front of the next after this, right? Because mm-hmm. things that you would normally take for granted suddenly are going to seem really big, right? Because along with that is a questioning of your mortality. Again, yeah. Am I going to mm-hmm. die? Or what's this process going to be like for me? And I know you shared a little bit with me as we were talking pre-show about the feelings that you had and the changes that occurred as a result of it. And those changes that then led to some depression and anxiety for you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. You know, after being diagnosed and you just, you know, you're going through the treatment process, which was very rough, you know, and I got very sick. I lost my taste buds. And of course, before that happened, I lost one of my breasts because after they went in, they found a small tumor. I was stage 2B, and then they had to remove 20 out of 23 lymph nodes. So being a woman, you lose your breasts. Now you lose your hair. You lose your taste bud. It's just like life is just stripping you down to the core, you know, and being sick all the time at the point where I always share this with, you know, friends that me and the toilet bowl became best friends because I hugged it so much. I'm just constantly, you know, throwing up. And I was in there so much that I ended up putting a blanket and a pillow and slept there because by the time I, you know, threw up and stuff, run back in the room, then I'd come back again. I said, you know what, I'm just going to sit here. And the thoughts that went through my mind of wanting to die. Thought about shooting myself. Even wondering, hey, can I go somewhere and, you know, find a drug dealer and start to buy a gun from him? You know, could I take some sleeping pills and just sleep away? Could I cut my wrist? Could I go to a high-rise building and jump off? But then I had to stop, like, hey, I'm afraid of heights. That ain't gonna work. So it's like I'm plotting through all these scenarios of how to commit suicide. And all of a sudden, my kids came in the bathroom and my daughter's like, Mommy, what's wrong with you? And I completely zoned out that I forgot I had children. I'm looking at my kids like, who are you? Where did you come from? And my daughter's like, Mom, why do you have this dumb look on your face like you don't know us? And I'm just like, I'm a mother? These are my children? And it's just like, what was I thinking? You know? And, you know, quick time just processing that whole scenario there. I went to my mother and I told her what was going on. And, you know, she said to me, you know, we're from the Caribbean. You know, a lot of times we don't talk about these things and we don't go seek help. We, you know, we take you to church and pray over you and stuff. But she said, look here, I retired from the medical field and you need to go get some help. So I ended up calling my doctor and, you know, was explaining to him what I was going through and stuff. And he said, well, I need you to go see a psychiatrist. And I was just like, first of all, I'm not crazy, so we don't need to go there. Is there another alternative, you know? And he said to me, he said, it's not about you being crazy. It's about getting to the root of the problem. Why are you having these thoughts? Why are you depressed? Why are you crying? You know, why do you want to take your life? And I was like, okay, I'll try. So I did went in, you know, saw a psychiatrist and talked about everything. And it was my fear of dying. So I actually got over that process and I said, okay, I understand fear of dying. You know, the doctor's got all the cancer and getting treatments. I'm okay. Then here comes another bombshell. A year later after treatments, I went in and had my first mammogram. And after the mammogram, because they only did the right side, they don't do the left since I had reconstructed on that side, I developed lymphedemocellulitis. So now my arm swelled up. And then there's another side of paranoia came in. So whenever I would go out, I would hear voices in my head of, you know, people looking at me, talking about me and, you know, why is her arm bigger than the other? You know, why does she lose all her hair? Why does she lose her breast? You know, it's just constant going on. It's just like, you know, the insecurities that I didn't even want to go outside, you know? And even for a year during my treatments, I would not look in the mirror. I would put a bandana over my head to cover my head, put clothes on, but I would never look in the mirror because I didn't want to see that person because she was no longer me anymore. My surgeon's assistant, I went to a follow-up visit and she came to me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No." And I told her what was going on. And she does a lot of holistic healing as well too. And she put me in this room and did a little bit of, you know, hands-on therapy and stuff and played some music and, you know, did some, just talked to me and stuff. And she said, "Whenever you get the courage, I want you to stand in front of that mirror naked and don't move until you accept that beautiful individual that you look in front of. Because no matter whether you lost your hair, your breast, your arm, your leg, your anything, you are a woman. You are born a woman, and you always will be a woman. Embrace all the flaws about you because that's the special thing that God created about you." And be thankful that you're still alive. Don't take anything for granted. Appreciate each and every day. Some days will be bad. Some days will be good. But embrace life and enjoy to the fullest.
That is amazing, amazing advice, Mia. And I am so grateful to this physician assistant, wherever this physician assistant is, praying that they're continuing to touch lives. The ability to see beyond the losses, because the losses can feel so big. And especially when, you know, there's a saying that goes, it's not the big wave that kills you, it's the small waves that come over and over that don't allow you to breathe. So here you are, you know, going through this process, having all the changes, going and finally getting some help, because despite the pain, you know, many people going through depression, anxiety, still do not believe that they deserve or that they should be going to get help. So you get to that point, here comes the next wave, washing over you, right?
Yeah.
So life sometimes will do that where it's like, give me a break. But I praise God for the physician assistant who was able to tell you and to remind you of how fearfully and wonderfully made you are, and that those losses had nothing to do with the very inner person that you are. So, you know, praise God for that. Praise God for that. So, Mia, now I want to go back a little bit to where, you know, we touched like just that quick on the culture, where when you went to mom and mom said, "I know what our culture normally says, but my daughter, my girl, no, we're not going to do that. We're actually going to go out there and we're going to go get some help." Mm-hmm. How often do you see that repeated where within the culture, the Caribbean culture, or just even within the Black culture, that particular thing, which is culture, stops us from going out and getting help? Even when we're drowning, even when the waves are coming and they're coming and they're coming, we still do not reach that hand out and say we need help.
It's a big stigma, you know, in the, you know, the African American, the Caribbean American community, and it's a taboo conversation, you know, because, you know, growing up, we were told that we handle everything in house. We don't go to therapy and all that other stuff. We go get prayed on, or, you know, and, you know, talking to other individuals, the same thing that they experience, or the fear of, when someone tells them you have this, you know, diagnosed, then it's a sign of weakness. Mm. Or is that going to come back and, you know, bite me in the butt later, you know, in my job or my relationship or anything. So it's best to just like say silent when we can't do that. You know, we've got to, you know, seek help. You know, we got to get to the root of the problem. That's how we, you know, will continue to heal. You know, and I hope that in future that, you know, parents, that we don't tell our children that and have that open communication to where our children and even friends, that we can come to them and talk about what's going on with us and not judge us. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a friend a while back that shared that she was going through some stuff. She didn't know what was wrong with her. And her friends just saw her as lashing out and got an attitude and stuff. To later, her friend just stopped talking to her completely. Mm-hmm. And she literally wanted to kill herself. And somebody had, you know, had said something to her. She went and, you know, got help. And, you know, and I look back at that and I was like, wow, what if she actually went through it? That friend that just shunned her, you know, what are you going to say? Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I coulda, shoulda. It's too late for that. And these are the things that we have to also pay attention to, you know, family, friends, that we see these signs that something is not right with them, to say, hey, what's going on? How can I help you? You know, and not let them sit in silence to where we may read about it in the newspaper or on social media that this person is no longer here. Hmm.
Well, I know, Mia, that is like near and dear to your heart, because all of the organizations that you have somehow are tied into creating community and unity so that people won't feel alone, that they won't have to think that they're going to walk through whatever life is throwing at them by themselves, so that they know that there are people who will reach out a hand and walk with them. I know you and I have done the Cancer Survivor Walk together. We a couple of years ago, we were walking together, and you know, just you were like, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I want you to come and I want you to show up, and these people, and it was just the passion of it. So I'm always excited about that. But we know that when you're in the middle of that walk, in the middle of the ocean, you can't see the shore when you're in the middle of it. So if you are looking back right now, what is one thing that you would have wanted to see changed when you were in the middle of that ocean, just looking at yourself or even just looking at the situation? What's one thing that you would say, if I had to go back and have that change, I'd change that?
You know, many have asked me that question, and to be honest, I wouldn't change anything, because to me, this was the journey I was supposed to be on. Because if none of this had happened, me being diagnosed with cancer, I would not be doing all these things that I'm doing. I'd be out there living my best life, probably still partying and doing everything. So I think this was my calling. You know, someone once asked me, you know, what was your greatest gift? And I said, you know, what was my greatest loss became my greatest gift, because it gave me purpose to help others. And that was just who I was supposed to always meant to be in doing this. So no, I wouldn't change anything. And I think it's also taught me to be a better person. To have gratitude and appreciate life, because every day, you know, just when I lost my taste buds, you know, when we eat because we're hungry. Now, when I eat, I taste the flavors of the food. I appreciate a whole lot more, you know. So yeah, I don't take life for granted anything. Days that it's raining, storming, whatever, I'll say, look here, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood because I'm alive.
Amen.
I don't care about you or what's going on. I'm alive today. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh my God, even appreciating the laughter, that we can take the time to laugh and to search for the light in the middle of darkness.
Yeah.
So Mia, another question. Mm-hmm. When you think back on that situation, What's one way that you have realized that you are much stronger than you thought?
I think at one point I blamed God. I mean, I literally cursed God when I first found out. Like, why are you doing this to me? What did I do? You know, thinking back my childhood, it's like, okay, what did I do in my childhood that, you know, caused this to happen to me? You know, and it was my faith that really brought me back, that I trust in God, that He gave me the strength to get through this and just continue every day. When those weak moments come in, I was like, God, I need you now, you know, to just, you know, give me strength today to get through this, to change this thought, you know. So yeah, my faith was one of the biggest things that really brought me through this.
Right. So you've come to realize that your faith was stronger than you thought, or it got forged in the fire.
Yeah. It gives you no more than you can bear. So.
Amen. Amen. So now, just to kind of ask you again, as you know, I'm always about the self-care. Looking back in that process, were you able to practice self-care? If so, what was it? And then looking at the time now, how are you practicing self-care?
Well, some of the things I'm doing back then after cancer, I used to put sticky notes all over my bathroom mirror, and there were words of affirmation. And that's one of the part of my self-care, that to build back my self-confidence, my self-worth. And each time that I accepted that sticky note, I would take it down. So eventually, all those sticky notes were gone, that I removed all that self-negative thoughts. I changed my eating habits in eating healthy, you know, choosing food that helped heal my body. And certain foods I have to stay away from, that because my cancer was hormone related. So I have certain foods I have to stay away from that are not hormone stimulant. And then also I do a lot of prayer, meditation. And one thing most of all is stay away from negative things and negative people.
Oh, and can you just say that again?
I stay away from negative things and negative people.
All right.
I have a circle that my core in the middle, that's my positive circle. Then you have that outer. Those are kind of like associates that they still kind of protect. Then that outer, then people, you can't get through those two other walls. Stay away from me. So when they come with the negative talk, like, oh, I got to go see you. My phone rings real quick. Oh, I got to go. I'll be right back.
Even when there's no sound, right? No, my phone is ringing, I'm telling you.
Yeah, because I mean, they will suck. They're like vampires. They will suck the life out of you. And I'm just like, look here. I'm trying to hold on to what little life I have in me. So I'm not a dumping ground. So don't come and dump all your problems and your negativity and all that. Like, take it somewhere else.
All right. So you are much more protective of your space.
Oh, yeah.
Ensuring that the energy that's surrounding you is much more positive. Minimizing your stress. Good for you, Mia. Good for you. Awesome advice, guys. Even if you're not walking a path, it is still an amazing thing to ensure that the people who are immediately surrounding you are bathing you in positive light and energy, and kind of keep the other people a little bit further out, right? So that, you know, maybe once in a while a ray may come through, but you're not being bathed in that negative light. Mm-hmm. So Mia, what words of encouragement or what tips would you give a woman who's currently walking the path that you've had to walk?
Don't give up. Things will get rough, but don't give up. Have a support system. And those are people that will support you, that will encourage you, that will uplift you, and do not judge you. Keep that positivity around you. And Educate yourself. Number one thing, educate yourself. If you're diagnosed with something, educate yourself on that. Ask a lot of questions. Become a dictionary. Become your own advocate. When I go into the hospital, I got a paper I pulled out, like 3 sheets, that has all my medications, ones I need to take for this, my allergies, all my doctors and conditions that I've had in the past. They look at me like, girl, I said, look here, I don't play with my health. So I make sure you put it, you know, in there. Yeah. So yeah, we have to be our own advocate. And don't rely, you know, if you have to get second opinion, you know, do that. That's you. That is your right. You know, don't accept what a doctor may say to you if something, you know, is not right. Because actually, when before I was diagnosed, I found a lump in my underarm, and my doctor brushed it off that it was a swollen lymph node. And my gut was telling me something is not right. And my boss had recommended I go see a surgeon. When he looked at my mammogram, it was normal. When he examined me, he's like, something, I feel a lump in your breast. And that lump in the underarm, because they did a needle aspiration and nothing came out, no fluid. He said that was a red flag. Because I've had fibrocystic in my breast for many years. And usually when they draw that needle aspiration, the fluid comes out, that's fibrocystic. So when I went the next day, he scheduled me for a biopsy, and it came back positive for breast cancer. And if I was sat there and listened to that doctor and waited, I had 20 out of 23 lymph nodes, stage two. They caught it before it hit my lung. That would have been stage three or stage four.
Right.
So that was a gut feeling that I was like, something ain't right.
So the tip that you would give is, women, also remember to be your advocate. If something inside of you is saying that something's not right, you press forward until that voice is silenced naturally, not silenced because someone else told you to be quiet. So continue to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
Excellent. So Mia, talk to us a little bit about, you have an upcoming project, right? Because this woman has decided, right? She made the decision that she is going to thrive and create an environment so that other people can thrive. So talk to us a little bit about some of the projects you're doing right now.
Well, right now I have a big three-part series coming up on to raise awareness on mental health in May. And the first one starts on next Tuesday, May 10th, and it's titled Suicide, The Road Not Taken, Part One. And I have two guests that'll be on there that'll be sharing their story of, you know, what led them up to thoughts of suicide. And then on the 17th, we have the next titled Suicide to the Edge and Back, Part Two. And two other individuals, you'll be hearing their story where they actually tried to commit suicide. And then the last part on May 24th, titled Suicide, The Moment of Truth, which I'll be sharing my story. Of course, you, Dr. Max, will be on that show. We have Dr. Donald Tate, who is a grief recovery specialist. We have Sophie Green, who is a relationship coach and one of my writers and producer. And also Leonard Birch, he's a soul therapist and a psycho-spiritual coach. And, you know, once we hear all the stories, you know, we're going to, you know, have a roundtable discussion and talk about, you know, the prevention, because not just, you know, hearing our stories, but where do we go next? You know, how can we help others out there to get their voice back and to seek help?
So perfect. 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 And guys, just a FYI, several of the women like Dawn and Maria, they were actually guests on the Her Story, Her Journey podcast. So you can actually go back and listen to them and then come out and meet them when Mia does her show. Exciting, guys. Please come on out. Now, Mia, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, How would they do that?
They can email me at iamkuomagazine@gmail.com, or they can call me at 407-486-5001, and they can also log on online and visit us at kuomagazine.com. And I'm all over social media on Facebook, Mia, M-E-A, Allman, A-L-L-M-A-N. You can also follow us on Official Woman of Culture, and culture is spelled with a K. Ribbons of Survivors 365. We're on Instagram, Facebook as well.
All right. So plenty of ways, guys. There's no way you shouldn't be able to find her. And of course, we're also going to feature her on our Instagram page. And as we are getting ready to wrap up, I always want to share this information for the Suicide Prevention Hotline. The telephone number is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Reach out if you need to. There is no shame. We all need help at one point in our lives. So there are people who are sitting there waiting to love on you and to help you as much as you need it. So now we actually have just finished listening to Mia share her story of how she had to pull on that extra deep inside of her when life tried to strip her down to her core. That was after she was diagnosed with breast cancer and started dealing with depression, anxiety, and even suicidal thoughts. Well, Mia got the last laugh, because what she is saying to herself and to everyone is, I have learned how to embrace all of who I am. So I just want to tell you guys, you know, I absolutely, absolutely just love featuring the extra that shows up when we women are challenged in our ordinary lives. Thanks to everyone for joining us on the Her Story, Her Journey podcast. I'm Dr. Max, and if you want to share your story, or if you know a woman who would like to share her story, please send me a DM on Instagram at herstory.herjourney. That's herstory.herjourney. And guys, as always, please remember this. 2 Corinthians verse 10. For when I am weak, then I am strong.